Welcome to Job Tales, the podcast where you listen to professional stories and find the job that suits you. Sound can be the main activity of someone's profession. Think, for example, of a sound engineer, an audio designer, or a musician. Today, I'll talk with an acoustic consultant. Her name is Elizabeth Valmont, and together we'll explore the importance of sound in any given architectural environment. Elizabeth, thank you. I'm very happy to have you. Your job sounds very interesting and quite original. You're an acoustic consultant by trade, right? So I would love to ask you to give me a short explanation of what that means.
Yes. And Laura, I'm also delighted to be here. So thank you so much for asking me on your show.
My pleasure.
So yes, an acoustic consultant is someone who understands the science of sound. So specifically for me, I work in the architecture world. So I have an expertise in architectural acoustics. And so I actually studied architecture originally and then had a bit of a journey that got me into acoustics. But the science of sound is related to everything you hear. And when it comes to architecture, it has to do with the environment of the room. Is the room noisy? What kind of room is it? Are we inside of a restaurant or are we at a concert hall? So an acoustic consultant would deal with the aspects of what happens in the room. What is the geometry? What is the space volume like? What are the finishes? All of those features influence the sound in the room. That's one primary aspect of an acoustic consultant's work. Another would be something called sound isolation, or some people call it sound containment. And that has to do with sound that goes through walls or floors. So The question there in architecture would be, well, how well do I hear my neighbor? It's okay. Particularly when it comes to residential units. If you have an apartment, I'm sure people have had issues where they have a neighbor that they may not want to hear, whether they have, you know, Netflix playing too loudly or sometimes happens also vertically between adjacent units. There could be impact noise that you hear heels, you know, the heel drops, people above you. So all of that has to do with sound containment, and that's a realm of sound isolation. And then another element acoustic consultants deal with in the architecture realm is mechanical noise and vibration control. So in architecture, a lot of the equipment systems, not limited to mechanical, it could be mechanical, electrical, plumbing equipment, just general equipment that's very necessary for the building to operate, whether it's for air, power, or water. All of those things have elements of building systems that can have reciprocating or rotating equipment. And that makes noise too, because that movement can cause vibration and can influence what we call it structure-borne noise, that equipment can cause vibrations and structure-borne noise in a building if it's not mounted on vibration isolation. I'm getting really technical on you. And then one last thing is environmental noise. So Laura, sorry I went a little bit too detail in each of them, but that's...
No, it's important. No, it's very good. Actually, I wanted to ask, what is reciprocating equipment?
Something that goes back and forth, whereas rotating might be going in circles. But in general, when I'm discussing building systems, they move, right? A fan, it's moving, it's machine equipment.
Okay.
So anything that causes a kinetic action, right, can cause noise potentially depending on its impact on the building.
Okay. And what would you say is actually your goal as an acoustic consultant?
Oh, I think it's creating a pleasant environment for the occupant.
Okay.
A pleasant environment, or one that's works, right? If you're a teacher, you need to have a space that helps them sound intelligible. If you are a musician, you want the sound to resonate in the room beautifully, right, and correctly. So the goal is to create a space that's effective for the user, as well as, I'd say, creating, you know, delight or even wellness.
Oh, amazing. So as an architectural, you know, acoustics consultant, did it take a long time to actually learn about everything that you have to know about sound and acoustics?
Well, I guess like in any field, you have a journey of how you learn this, but I've been in the field, I suppose, and you're making me think about it, Laura. I guess it was about 18 years. I mean, it certainly takes some time. I guess I studied, you know, architecture first, as I said, and then I did some graduate programs that steered me into the world of sound.
What was it in particular?
I studied building science. Once I graduated from architecture school, I went directly into a graduate program where I learned about all the sciences of a building. So that could be lighting systems, sound, structural systems, and it's the sciences of a building. And then I was able to, in that degree program, focus on acoustics. And honestly, I've always had an affinity for sound because I used to play piano. I was a musician in my younger life. I grew up playing piano, and oftentimes you'll find that acoustic consultants are ex-musicians or current musicians, I'll say. Many people I work with are just that, right? There's a lot of musicians in the field.
So you have to have an ear for it, I guess.
Or a passion too, I think, but it doesn't hurt to have an ear for it.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. I didn't know about all this. And tell me something maybe that, you know, we as laymen would not know about your job, or maybe some anecdotes or some stories that come out of your consulting times or consulting years, because it's been now a long time you've been doing this.
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess anecdotes over 18 years, I'm trying to think of one, but you know, the work I've done has ranged across many markets and many different industries, I should say. So, you know, anything from healthcare, working on hospitals or medical office buildings, all the way to commercial buildings, all the way to, you know, a place for arts, right? Like a performance hall or a movie theater even. So there is a range, and I'd say I have an anecdote for each of them, I suppose. One that's kind of near and dear to my heart, though, I would say I started out in the world of music. As I said, I was a classical pianist, and so I always had a love for the arts, specifically, you know, opera and symphonies. And so I've always enjoyed when I've had a project related to that, just because I love the idea of creating a space for musicians and a space for the audience so that they could enjoy, you know, what entertainment they're intended to enjoy. And that was something that really brought me into acoustics. Then things have changed in my lifetime, and I'm gonna go all the way to healthcare. Over the years, have worked on several projects, and healthcare is something that's become more near and dear to my heart because of the idea of soundscapes in the hospital and how they influence wellness. Hospitals generally are places that can be very scary and very noisy and very busy. Not scary for sound, scary for other reasons, right? If you're a patient who's about to get a surgery, you know, I just had, as you know, Laura, I have two little babies, and I had my share of time in the hospital. And as much as it was for a joyous occasion, it's still kind of scary. But I've also been to the hospital for some family members that did have some very serious procedures and emergencies. And that's what actually got me more passionate with healthcare. My brother actually suffered from an event that was an emergency. He almost died. And when he was in the ICU, I couldn't help but observe how absolutely noisy it was. And the position of his bed was right next to some exit doors for the clinicians, these double doors. And every time anyone passed through them, it would just slam. And I always wondered, I wonder if my brother is disrupted by that. He was generally a little bit unconscious. So, you know, it's not like he could tell me, or I don't even know if he remembers, but you know, our bodies biologically respond to those noises. And it does, there are studies that show us how that noise can influence your wellness and your healing time. You know, there's other things that happened at that time in my life, but it really got me thinking, you know, how as an acoustic consultant, can I change this and, you know, or improve it, not change it. I would say we healthcare, hospitals, clinicians, they all do their best. They're incredible. It's an incredible profession of people that are all going towards the same goal to help us be better and well.
Yeah.
But they're not acoustic consultants. And so yes. when I get a job into in our office that has to do with healthcare, you know, I think about how the discussions I have with the owners, the providers, and providing criteria so that we can create a, you know, a less noisy space when we can, a more controlled space when it comes to noise or the right amount of noise. So I've enjoyed, you know, working in the healthcare industry a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. And it's funny, it's not as glamorous as the arts and culture industry. They're all important, but it's interesting for me that my journey started where I would have started thinking I'd start my career in the arts. I never thought it would lead up to me learning a lot more and specializing in healthcare. Yeah.
So when you, I guess you're working for, well, I know you're working for a company, right? And it's a consultancy company that does like a wide range of consultancies, and then use in the specific will be acoustics. Now, the companies that hire your company and hire you, are they focusing on sound as well? Or do you bring that as an additional feature that they may have not thought of? Like I'm thinking hospitals and healthcare facilities, do they actually know that they want to change the sound design to make it better for their patients?
That's an excellent question. You know, oftentimes, I hate to say it, Laura, but the science of sound is one you do not see. So it does often get overlooked. So a lot of clients that approach us, it varies, right? Oftentimes, they don't really know or understand acoustics as well as they should, maybe for their project, or don't understand, just because it's not their profession, they don't understand the impact or improvement it can have when you have an acoustic consultant on board. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my job is educating. I do also teach, so I'm also educating as well. So I do try to evangelize this profession because it's so important. But because you don't see it a lot, it does often go overlooked. However, there are definitely clients that are well aware of the issues, and they certainly come to us because they know that they need to address some issue for attenuation. So for instance, speaking of healthcare, we had a client that in the past that was going to locate their hospital very close to an Air Force base. And so they hired us because they were concerned about these jet fighter passbys over their hospital and how that low frequency engine noise from the aircraft would enter into the patient rooms, right? A patient who is there to recover and a place that's all about wellness, all of a sudden being disrupted by this jet engine noise would be, you know, that was a concern to our client. So that was something that they hired us for, and they knew they wanted to hire us for that acoustic issue. There's other clients, and going back to arts and culture, those are the clients that are they understand that they need an acoustic consultant because it's a place of entertainment. It's a place of music. So they certainly want some help and consultation on what does this room, will the room work to make the musicians or artists sound good? Right. So those are the other set of clients that are definitely informed, and they worry about it. You know, there's other clients there were things that were just not that obvious. I'd say restaurants are one of them. You know, there's so much to focus on in the design of a restaurant. I don't think acoustics is the top of mind. and as a result, restaurants probably you frequented some, Laura, where it is very noisy.
And it echoes.
Especially the busiest restaurants have a lot of noise from the people activity, but also the addition of the amplified music that they love to throw into the space, right? So the combination of all that noise actually makes you as a guest at that restaurant oftentimes yell, right? You're yelling at someone that's almost a foot away from you. And so as a result, you know, it actually has been studied that can influence how you taste food, you know, how much noise is there. It also can tire you, you know, when it's so noisy and you're really putting a lot of energy in talking. I mean, you leave that experience potentially very, you know, a little bit more tired. But the other concern actually is the people who work there. Oftentimes when it's very, very noisy, if it hits, you know, certain thresholds of concern, the people that work there for long hours, like 8-hour shifts, they could potentially be exposed to hearing damage over time. So I know you asked me at the beginning, you know, what does acoustic consultant do? And I went through some of the aspects of what I do on a day-to-day basis, but I suppose I should have answered you with, you know, we influence environments all the way from the delightful to the regulatory, right? There's things that I have, you know, we have to meet code standards for a project, for instance, or just safety standards, for instance, like in that restaurant example, that would be about the health and safety of the workers, all the way to the delightful, right? Working with artists and creating delightful experiences. So it ranges.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a whole world that's opening up to me. And I'm also thinking of the environment when we talk about acoustic pollution. Is that a part of your job as well? And how much impact does it have on the consultancy that you do?
Absolutely. You know, I had once done a presentation at a transit conference that spoke about sound in the environment. And I went through different places of where it is and how we tackle addressing, controlling them. So let me go through a few. So for instance, you think about, gosh, I'm like, which one do I pick out first? Okay. You know, aircraft noise, right? Yeah. That's something that certainly, if you're in the zone of flybys and you live, for instance, in a residential area, or if there's an education facility in that area, we have gotten called on to look at what we can do with the envelope of the building. Can we improve it so that we get less noise ingress into our spaces? So certainly noise from aircraft. There's certainly... I live in Los Angeles. I have, this is a car-based city.
Really? So I didn't notice.
Yeah. So like, yeah, duh. we have a lot of traffic noise. And so that's another issue. And depending on where your building is or what kind of building there is, I remember in a former office of mine, they were doing, you know, a typical glass building right next to one of the freeways over here. And the CEO's corner suite was this beautiful, you know, glass room, but it was facing directly into the traffic. So we had to look at what kind of glazing, what kind of facade, how we would improve it to reduce the noise coming in from traffic, you know. And then there's rail noise, and so in the environment, there's more people, there's more opportunities for transit, and we're just living in a louder place today than we were 100 years ago, even 50 years ago, you know? And so fortunately, it's not getting, you know, so loud that we can't walk outside or something. It just depends on where you're at. But obviously the areas of general cities that live in a heavily trafficked transit environment, especially with a lot of buildings around it, like I think of New York, you know, there's a lot of traffic and you contain all that sound with all those high-rise buildings, it gets noisy, right? Mm,
yeah,
so noise pollution is an actual issue, and it's something our company is sensitive to, and we're aware of it. And so when we have new projects, we have to look at what's happening with transit. If it's a building project that's creating noise too, buildings create noise, right? When they have their building system equipment, for instance, on roofs, we look at controlling that noise so it's not really adding too much stress to the environment as well. The other thing I was going to mention about noise pollution is our company also looks at the future of noise, right? There's this is where we met, Laura, you know, the future of urban air mobility, right? And this is this vehicle, the whole, the trend right now of discussion related to vehicles in the sky. You know, there's a lot of equitable noise equity discussions around that. If we're now going to have these electric vehicles, aircraft, electric aircraft in the sky, what are the routes that they're going to take? Are they going to add more noise to certain environments? You know, just a pretend the hypothetical thought about equity. I'll just use LA as an example. If, for instance, the routes of these future vehicles take the same route as the freeways, seems like a nice artery, you know, a nice place to have these aircraft, you know, follow that traffic line. But then you're adding more noise to that area, right? Mm-hmm. And if you know a little bit about the history of LA, the freeways were built around areas that were a little bit more impoverished. So unfortunately, we would just be adding more insult to injury, if you will. So, you know, we have to think, and you know, policymakers really need to think hard about how, what are the routes? What does it mean to the areas that will be influenced by the aircraft? The good news is, Laura, though, and this is what was discussed in the conference that we met at, you know, a lot of these vehicles are doing, a lot of the manufacturers are doing a lot of work to make them quiet. So there's good news. But
yeah,
you mentioned noise pollution and you may go down a little path.
For sure. And to conclude, what could, you know, the young people that are listening to this episode, you know, where could they look for a job? Where do they start to look for a job like yours?
Oh, okay. That's a great question. You know, unfortunately, I could tell you, I can't tell you like go study engineering and do an acoustic degree. There are acoustic degrees in the US for sure out there, and definitely abroad. There's definitely some excellent schools in the UK if you want to study acoustics. However, people on my team specifically come from very diverse backgrounds. There's people that had physics degrees, people like me who had architecture degrees, people who have mechanical engineering degrees. So there's a little bit of diversity in studying the science in terms of having a diversity in your background. Some people were full-fledged musicians and then they switched gears, right? But all of us probably did an apprenticeship, I'd say, or you know.
So apprenticeship is good, yeah.
Yeah, so getting an internship. Once you have some basis, you know, usually you're an architect or you are studying acoustics or some sort of sound science or some sort of engineering degree. A lot of people transition into this in the work field, in the workspace. So getting an internship or, you know, as a graduate from school, if you want to dabble into it, you know, I'd say there isn't a single path, I guess, is the answer, which is good news. It's what makes our team, I think, a little bit exciting and intelligent, because we're coming at each of our problems from diverse perspectives and diverse skill sets.
We are coming to the end of our interview. I would like to ask you many more questions, but I'll stop you there. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time in between calls and meetings.
Oh my gosh, Laura. No, thank you. I know we have different time zones right now, so I appreciate you.
And I wish you all the best and good luck with everything. And I hope to see you very soon.
Oh, likewise, Laura. All right. Thanks so much.
Keep listening to my podcast. All comments are welcome. You find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Just type JobTales, TALES. Bye for now.